Welcome. You are now listening to the Anything Goes podcast with your hosts, Greg and Alex.
Yo, Johnny Knoxville, what are these people listening to?
Anything Goes?
This is Mecca, and you're listening to the Anything Goes podcast. We're talking about you that night.
One, two, 1, 2, 3, 5, 12, 14. Welcome, 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 welcome to a brand new episode of Anything Goes podcast. I am one half of y'all's Greg, a.k.a. Crazy Greg, a.k.a. Pooh Bat, and you are?
I am Alex.
And we're joined by the mosquitoes. Oh, yeah. I gotta say, this was before you even born.
I know.
But we were joined by Tony from the Mosquitoes. And he gave us a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of really cool, like, things that you would never know by meeting him.
Yeah.
I've known him for quite a while. Mm-hmm. And we spoke music a bit here and there, but never to this depth. And he was big time back in the day.
Yeah, it's so funny.
So they opened for the Ramones.
Oh, that's crazy.
Which is crazy, crazy. Quite
that
a few times.
So crazy.
And I don't want to say, but he'll tell in the interview, he played a sporting event with the Ramones too.
That's very cool though.
Yeah.
The Ramones mm-hmm. are like one of the biggest.
Yeah. And I got to say, he sent me the vinyl and his 2-disc CD. And if you didn't know better, like, they are the closest sounding band I've heard to the Beatles.
I said that.
Yes, they really are.
I literally said that when you played it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, it's the Beatles.
Yeah, like if somebody doesn't know the Beatles and you played it and you're like, oh, here's the Beatles, like
yeah.
They would believe it.
Right.
It's crazy. It really is.
It has that like something to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, just
that feel.
And back in the day, they had the look, they had the sound.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
You would really think that
it's
their
so
music
funny.
Was, yeah. Mm-hmm. So crazy.
Beatles and, 2.0.
Uh-huh. And even now, what is it, 80, no, almost 40 years later, the fans out there are, like, still asking for them.
That's awesome.
And they made, like, a YouTube documentary
that
the fans
so
made.
That's so funny.
Uh-huh. They just recently made a fan Facebook page.
Very cool.
Based on the Mosquitoes. So, like, it's weird that the demand is, like, coming back out of nowhere.
It's just music is coming back.
I know.
Even our generation of music
yeah.
is like, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
Like we have so many shows going on.
Yeah, there's a lot of like 20, 25 year anniversary
yes.
shows and tours. And we have a lot lined up.
I know. It's so great.
And it's awesome to think that like our generation of music is back.
Oh, my
like,
God.
Taking
I'm so
over.
Happy. I'm so happy too because I got to experience it, but I did miss some. So I'm happy that they're coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm more like comfortable going to shows too,
right.
Which is why I missed it because I was always afraid I was going to get hurt. Little did I know you could stand in a spot where you wouldn't get hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
But
there's spots you want to stand, spots you don't want
to
stand.
Exactly. And yeah. now I know where to go.
Right.
You read the room or the
there you go.
The,
yep.
mm-hmm. the floor, the pit, the
and
whatever.
It's funny because you can attest to this. The last show we went to, within the first song I went to, I was like, yeah, like, there's people in there that are just causing problems.
Yes, yep.
And by his third song, a fight broke out.
Yeah, and someone got kicked out.
Yeah, yeah. Got kicked out. Like, you could just tell right away,
uh-huh.
you know, who's there to enjoy the music and who's there not to.
Yes.
But anyway, speaking of enjoying music.
Yeah.
Mosquitoes, yeah. It's crazy to think that, like, they were big time back then.
Yeah.
And they were right on the verge of, like, breaking it big.
Right, right.
Like, real big. And just like anything, you know, people get bad breaks in life and athletes, you know, they're right
yeah,
there and then
right.
they get injured or whatever
of course.
It is. And but they were there. They were touring the world and record deals and playing with the Ramones and all
That's
this
crazy
stuff.
Crazy to think the Ramones.
Yeah,
insane.
They won awards and best new rock band in
Whoa.
1986.
I wasn't even a thought
no,
yet.
No, so it's crazy. And yeah, but they're out there now. getting out a bunch of unreleased stuff that they had from years ago.
Yeah.
Very cool. We're going to link those websites to this episode so you can go check it out. There's a bunch of stuff on YouTube and the documentary that the fans made and a lot of live shows and where you could pick up the double album and the vinyl and all that stuff. But I do want to get into the interview because it's interesting. It's crazy to hear music back 40 years ago and
right.
you know how it was, how different it was, but it's still music and it's still around today. So let's get into it.
Let's go.
All right. So here's Tony from the Mosquitoes. Tony, thank you so much for taking the time out. I know everybody has a lot going on, but it's awesome just to set time aside and mm-hmm. be able to talk. So, all right, here it is. Once again, I'm Greg, a.k.a. Crazy Greg, a.k.a. Pooh Bear, and you are?
I am still Alex.
Yes, sir. So, all right, to think that this guy shared the stage with the Ramones.
So cool.
Here he is, Tony from the Mosquitoes.
Hey, Alex.
Yeah?
Tell these fine-looking people where they can find us.
Well, they could find us on Instagram at AnythingGoesPodNY, on Twitter at AnythingGoesNY, and shoot us an email at agpodny@gmail.com.
That's right. And y'all can listen to all of our episodes on any streaming platform where podcasts can be found. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review. Because anything goes with Greg and Alex.
Phone home, phone home, phone home!
Welcome, welcome, welcome to a brand new episode of the Anything Goes podcast. So this has been in the works for probably, what, 2 years now? We've been trying to make this happen. And finally, we found the time. Yeah. And we're joined by Tony Millions from the Mosquitoes. And what a pleasure it is to have you on. So, Tony.
My pleasure.
Yeah, man. Welcome to the Anything Goes podcast.
Great to be here.
Yeah, thank you. We appreciate it. Appreciate your time. And how's it going? How's everything with you right now?
Very good. Very good. Living the dream, as they say.
I hear that. And so we're here to talk about the Mosquitoes. Let's get to it, because that's what the people want to hear. First of all, I'm kind of curious about this. How did the band name come together?
The band or the band? How did we get the name?
Well, the name, yeah. The name, the Mosquitoes.
Okay. The name's an easy one. The guy who put the band together, his name was Vance Brescia. He was from anywhere from 7 to 10 years younger than the rest of us. So he was a young kid. I met him, I was working at a record store in Huntington, famous store called Sam Goody. They're no longer around. But,
I know Sam Goody.
He was a customer. But anyway, to answer your question about the name of the band, he was a huge fan of Gilligan's Island, and on one of the shows, a band gets shipwrecked on the island, and the name of the band is the Mosquitoes. So we literally just stole it from that show. And, and you know, as a matter of fact, it's funny because we played all kinds of colleges and stuff like that. One college we went to thought we were actually the guys from the TV show.
No way. That's so funny.
Yeah, so we played up to it. They weren't kidding, though. They were serious.
That's so funny. You played right into it, huh?
Yeah, it was fun.
That's great. That's great. Any other shows that stood out that you guys played when you were doing your thing?
You mean shows that we played?
Yeah.
We started late 80, in the summer 81, fall 81, getting this together. Our first gig was January 82. And a little more than a year later, we were playing with the Ramones. And we opened up for them at the Southampton College. And it was a huge step for us. I mean, we went from playing bars with 100, 200 people to 2,000.
That's insane.
In a year, you know? Insane. So I do have a recording of that show, and I think there's at least one live track on the double CD, but we'll get to that later. But anyway, yeah, that show, there was a lot. I mean, we had a lot of fun. Let's put it this way. It was a lot of fun. The ending wasn't, but for the years we played, we had a lot of fun. We toured all over the place. And had a blast. We played. As big as we were in our hometown of Huntington, yeah. We were even bigger in New York.
Wow.
For some reason, we went over well, and we fit into this revival scene that was happening in the 80s. You know, a lot of people call it the garage scene, and you know, we latched on to that, and we ended up getting our first release from being in that scene. One of the songs, one of the early songs we recorded was a song called Darn Well, and a company called Roar, R-O-I-R, decided to put out, the gentleman's name is Jeff Kamarkin, put together a compilation of, you know, quote-unquote garage bands called Garage Sale, and we would lead track on that, so that we had, like, our first official release was on that. It was a cassette, actually, so our first release was a cassette. Anybody know what a cassette is out there?
Kinda, no, but yeah. we do. I actually still own some myself.
Okay. Yeah,
it's a well, long time ago.
Yes. I hear they're coming back, actually. Believe it or not, I don't know why, because they don't sound as good as records, but, no. or CDs, but they're coming back.
Yeah, and they are definitely a pain to use also.
Yeah, they break, you know, that's weird stuff happens. But, so, true. Yeah, there's a lot of memorable gigs. We played, we toured colleges. In 85, we put out, after this Roar tape came out, we put together some money. Just so you know, we never took a dime from all the shows. We put all the money into a bank account because our plan was to ultimately make a really good demo to circulate to try to get a record deal. Back then, the goal was to get a record deal because a record company had a much better distribution ability than you did yourself. That's not the case anymore. But so that was the big deal. You want to get noticed by a record label and get a contract and get a bonus and, you know, do a single. Anybody know what a single is out there? Yeah. So that's, you know, that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to be, you know, we were kind of a power pop rock band. And, you know, it evolved over the years. It got a little different, but basically the same concept. But so that was our goal, you know. So after we put the EP out, it's a 5-song EP called That Was Then, This Is Now. And if that sounds familiar, we'll get to that later. So we toured up and down the East Coast, down to D.C., played, opened up for Chris Isaacs. Opened up for Chris Isaacs at the 930 Club, played in all kinds of clubs in Virginia, D.C., Georgetown. While we were down there playing, somebody asked us to play at a party, and it was literally like Animal House. It was almost like a toga party. So that was fun. We did like a one-off thing down there. That was pretty cool. But, you know, then we toured Canada, and we went to Montreal, Quebec, Toronto. We toured the Midwest. We played with a band called Wire Train, and we actually did a gig at Prince's First Avenue, which was fun. You know, he was huge at that point. We're talking like 85 now. Yeah, it's a lot of memorable gigs, and I think ultimately, when it comes down to it, we were a live band. We didn't have the money to spend hours and hours and hours in the studio. So, matter of fact, when we did our EP, our 5-song EP, That Was Then, This Is Now, we did it at the Boogie Hotel out in Long Island, Port Jefferson, and it was owned by Foghat. What we did was, we really couldn't afford it. But the guy told us, look, John Waite, you remember John Waite? I'm missing you. He was in the Babies. He booked the studio for a month. So they said, look, they were actually double dipping. They said, we'll give you a better rate and we'll let you know when he's not going to be in the studio. And then we would come in when he was not coming in, even though he pays for the whole month. So we would go and sneak in there, do our recordings and leave. But, you know, I mean, like, bands spend hours and hours and hours to try to get a perfect take sometimes, you know, and then overdubs and all that stuff. So we just really didn't have that kind of money or time to do that. So I'm not as proud of the studio stuff because we don't have much of it. But I was really proud of the band as a live band. And that's why I'm so happy that we finally were able to release that CD. So,
yeah. That's some story. And even in 1986, you were voted the new best rock group.
Yeah, that was a trip. That, yeah. 86 was really like I said, 83 snuck up on us. And all of a sudden, everything started to speed up, you know. And then 86 was great. I mean, the year started with us playing live on AEW radio on St. Patrick's Day from the Manhattan Brewery. I still have a tape of that, and you know, Richard Neer, who I listened to on WFAN on Saturday mornings, was one of the hosts. Huh. And as I was putting this CD together, I heard his voice, and I was like, oh, my God, this is the same guy I'm listening to every Saturday morning. He made a couple of goofy mosquito jokes, too, about being stung or something like that. Mm. But anyway, so we played there, and then right after that, we played the New York Music Awards. Now, I'm not even sure they do that anymore, but this was the first year they ever did it. And we won Best New Rock Band. Contemporaries of ours were the Smithereens. Now, I don't know if everyone knows the Smithereens, but they opened for us every time we played with them.
Wow.
You know, and what really started to get to us, and if you were around that era, we were really like, you know, the band most likely to succeed kind of thing, you know? And my brother called me up. He was working for a copyright lawyer in Manhattan, and he was hysterical. He called me up. He was eating lunch, and he heard a couple of people in the restaurant talking about how it was going to be a bidding war for the Mosquitoes signing. So, you know, we were all really excited that this was happening. And, you know, again, the momentum kept building and building in 86, and we really thought we were going to play. So what we decided to do is look for a producer and try to get him somebody that would record us and then shop the album to a label. That's kind of what happens. Or, you know, somebody just discovers you when you're playing and, you know, they sign you like that. But we had a fan whose brother was a producer. Huh. So he agreed to listen to some of the stuff, and he liked it, and he was going to record us. And that's when it fell apart. I mean, we were right on the cusp of, you know, who knows if he was going to be able to sell it, but he felt confident enough to do it. I mean, somebody as busy as he was not going to take this if he didn't think he was going to accomplish something.
Right.
So anyway, that's the down part of it, you know. But we had a lot of fun, and it was a long time ago. And, you know, I'm glad I did it. I mean, a lot of people don't get to do what they want to do. Even though we didn't go to the ultimate end, it was still a blast.
Well, regardless, the stories that you have and the shows that you played and the life that you lived, to me, I think you guys made it. I do. I would consider you making it.
Okay.
Well, I would.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you've experienced stuff that nobody else I know can say, you know?
Yeah, so, it was a blast. I mean, we played with a lot of, you know, artists. We opened up for Busta Poindexter on New Year's Eve show. I think it was at the Irving Plaza. Played opened up for the Romantics. Played again we played with the Ramones three times. And one of my favorite stories is, I think it was the University of Rochester. We walk into the building, and this is probably 80, 85. We walk into this humongous gymnasium. It's the gymnasium's so big, there's a track and a football field inside it.
Oh, my.
We're walking in with our gear, and I look to my right, and off in the distance is four guys with leather jackets playing stickball. Now, stickball was my thing. I mean, what I used to do is, you know, when I quit college, I came home, wrote songs and tried to sell them with a friend of mine. And we go, you know, we play guitar gigs at night and get home at like 2-3 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
We get up at 11, go to the field and play stickball with 3 or 4 other guys. And, you know, that was our life.
That's great.
Right? The life.
Yep.
But as soon as I saw that, man, I ran out to the field and started playing stickball with the Ramones. It was a blast. not many people can say they played stickball with their phones, I guess.
How'd you do in that stickball game with them?
I don't remember. Well, I know it was, you know, pretty starstruck at that point.
That's so funny.
But yeah, they liked us. And, you know, a friend of ours really turned them on to us. And give them credit for being open to it. You know, my friend Adam Grice was a big fan of the Mosquitoes and a huge fan of the Ramones, so much so that he was literally inside. I mean, he was number one on the guest list. He was at the shows. And, you know, they were looking for an opening band for the Southampton show. And,
wow.
And Adam literally said to Johnny or Joey or something, said, you know, I got a band. It'd be perfect. And they went for it. That's how we got the gig. I mean, I'm always in debt to Adam. Again, they hired us for another two gigs, too. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the funny thing is the lead singer, Vance, I mean, everyone in the band, Vance, Ian, Steve, myself, Mitch, and Pat, we were all, you know, Ramones fans, but Vance, the lead singer, was a huge Ramones fan, and he was scared to do this gig. He said, any band that opens up for the Ramones usually gets booed off stage. We didn't, so it was that was a victory, right?
Okay, so. Well, that's good, yeah, yeah. Was there any band that you wish you could have played with that you didn't get a chance to?
Oh, boy. I'm sure there was, but off the top of my head, I can't really think about it. Yeah, I mean, I'm probably forgetting some of the bands we played with as well. But back to the Smithereens, like I said, you know, they opened for us. Every time we played with them, like, we played the Bottom Line with them. They opened up. We finished the show. And in one night, and this is when we thought, looking back on it now, I think something was getting a little fishy with the band. You know, Pat D'Anizio was the lead singer of the Smithereens, came up to the dressing room, and this is another blast from the past. He came up to me and said, hey, you want to listen to our new record? And he gave me his Walkman with a cassette. And yep. I'm listening to their record, their first record, and I'm... As much as I'm digging it, I'm going, wow, how come we don't have anything?
Yeah.
You know, because like I said, you know, we were pretty much thought of as the most likely to get signed, I would say.
Wow. Right.
Not that, you know, look, the Smithereens are great. I'm a fan. I love the Smithereens. I'm so sad that Pat's gone, and I've seen him many times. But, you know, at that point, they were at the New York Music Awards. They were up for new Best New Rock Band, and we won it. So, you know, that's when we started thinking, well, why aren't we getting signed, you know? I think there was some funny stuff going on in the background between the manager and the lead singer, maybe taking more control, because we were always a democracy.
Got it.
We always voted on everything. You know, after the band ended, years later, we found out that there were offers that were turned down and stuff.
Oh, boy.
So fast forward to 2020, we started this project. Basically, it was two fans, Blair Buscarino and Bill Jones, two biggest Feet Mosquito fans I know. And we were going to put this together. And, you know, I insisted that it include Bill and Blair. And for a simple reason, I'm a huge Beatles fan. And when they put stuff out, the label or the Beatles themselves never really understood as much what the fans liked as much as the fans. So I wanted a fan to be there to say, look, what do you want on this? What do you guys want to hear? Not what we want to hear. And so they were incredibly helpful putting this together. It was a joint effort. Steve Prisco was involved in helping us in the beginning. Ian Morrison, myself, Bill Jones, and Blair. So then Steve had to bow out for personal reasons, and so did Ian. And so I stayed with the project. I felt like I wanted to finish it. I also knew that two of the band members had some serious health issues. Mm. At this point, my goal was to get this out before anybody in the band passed away. I hate to say that. It sounds a little sad. So there was a couple of agendas. One, again, took, one was I wanted people to hear us, hear our live stuff, and get the songs out. But the other was so that they would get a chance to hear it. And luckily enough, we got both of the projects out under budget and out at low, so that Ian could hear them before he left us. So
that's great.
Happy about that.
But
it was a 3-year process, and it went through a lot of changes. You know, the original plan was to put out an LP of all our studio stuff, which was 14 tracks. That's it.
Okay. Yeah.
So as we're putting this together, I'm listening to a lot of other stuff that's on these cassettes. And, you know, I have tons of board recordings from shows and audience recordings and stuff like that. So as we're putting this together, I'm hearing all this live stuff, and I'm going, wow, wish we were doing a live record instead of just a studio record. So long story short, I think it was October of 2022. There was a label that we were dealing with for the LP, and they hadn't responded to us in 3 months. Now, Blair was our liaison to the labels. He knows almost everybody that has an independent label. And I said to him, you know, we're not hearing from this guy. We need to look for another label. So Blair went out, and this is really cool. He went out and found a label called Cool Cat Music. Cool Cat Music owner Ray Gianchetti came up with an offer for us for a 2-CD collection with an 8-page booklet. And when Blair told me that, I mean, I think he wanted to say yes immediately, but he wanted to ask me. We just said, wait, are you kidding me? Of course we're going to do this. But now we have to say, wait a second, how are we going to fill 2 CDs? We only have 14 songs. Mm. And that's when I said, the live stuff, if it's the live stuff included, we can do it. And so then Blair came up with the idea, why don't we just find every original song that you, Vance, Ian wrote and try to find a live version of it and put it on there. So that's our goal was, and I think we got all of them. There's, I think, 42 original songs and 5 covers.
Okay. That's a great idea, though. Just get it all out there, one shot, everything you have.
Yeah,
put it out.
I mean, I think the liner notes are really cool because in the booklet, because we have some really cool fan recollections of the band, which I enjoyed. And so that happened. And then a couple of weeks later, the original label called and said that he was in the hospital for 3 months, so he couldn't call. So we asked him if he would mind if we put out the CD, and he said yes. Mm. I wouldn't want you to put out a CD before the record. Now, at that point, vinyl was taking 10 months to a year to get out because there was vinyl shortages. So we said, okay, thanks a lot. Appreciate your interest, but we're going to go elsewhere. Right. So at that point, we already had the CD ready to come out and eventually came out in May 2023. But in the meantime, we still wanted to do an LP. So we found an Italian label called Aria Parada, and a gentleman named Tiziano was fine with putting out an LP of our stuff. He thought it would go over well in Europe, and he didn't mind that the CD was out already. So that's how we got the 2 formats out there.
Nice. Where can people get a copy?
So the 2-CD version of the name of the 2 CDs is called This Then Are the Mosquitoes. It's a 2-CD set on Cool Cat Music. If you go to shop.coolcatmusic.com, and I'll spell that, KOOLKATMUSIK.com. So shop.coolcatmusic.com. You can buy the physical product for $20 for 2 CDs.
Nice, great deal, yeah.
$10 a CD. If you want to get a digital version because you don't know what a CD is or don't know how to put a CD into anything or don't have anything to put a CD into, you can go to bandcamp.com and look up This Then Are the Mosquitoes. I think it's $15 for the download.
Okay.
Same music. I'm pretty sure you get a digital copy of the 8-page booklet as well.
Mm, cool. Well, we're going to link that website to this episode so people could find it real easy for how to order this music.
Sure.
Definitely.
And then the LP, which is 20 euros, which I think is probably like $22, is on an Italian label called Aria Parada Records. And that's A-R-E-A. And then the second word is Parada, P-I-R-A-T-A. Aria Parada Records, I think it's ariaparada.com or whatever. And you'll get a nice 180 gram vinyl, nice heavy record. Comes with a 2-page color insert, and it also comes with a little download code for 3 additional tracks.
Nice.
Yeah, two of the tracks aren't available anywhere else, and one of the tracks on the LP is not on the double CD.
All right, so there's a lot still unreleased stuff that people can find from you, huh?
Yeah. I mean, the other thing I want to mention, and there is a chance. I mean, there is somebody interested in releasing a single. For those of you who don't know what that is, it's a piece of vinyl that has a big hole in the middle, and you put it down on what we used to call a record player, and then you put the needle on it, and it plays. Personally, I have a jukebox, so I would love to get a 45. So somebody's working on that on the side. I'm not really involved in that. And then there is another record coming out in 85, I believe it was, we did a show in the city called the Fuzz Fest. Fuzz Fest meaning, you know, it was a bunch of bands that were into the scene that we were into, the garage scene, where fuzz was a major sound that came out of most guitars from the bands from that era. So it was called the Fuzz Fest. There was, I think, six bands on the bill. They asked us to play, but we had a gig already in Huntington. So they said, well, why don't you come after that gig? So we actually played a gig in Huntington, packed up the gear, went to Manhattan. I believe we went on like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
And we closed the show, putting together a live record of that entire show.
Amazing.
It's been going back and forth for a long time now, as far as like whether it's going to be three songs from each band on one LP, or the latest I heard is going to be a three LP set with everybody's full set on it.
Wow. Okay.
So it's something to look forward to.
Isn't it crazy, even all these years later, this still...
It's weird.
I definitely want to ask this question.
Yeah.
So, right, in 100 years from now, right, all this is said and done, what do you want people to remember the name as Tony and the Mosquitoes as?
Oh, just a good pop band. Good, live, exciting pop band. I mean, we played in Huntington. We had a bass in Huntington called Sparks. Long since gone. I think Billy Joel might have been a part owner. Did some of his early videos there. But anyway, we would play, and people would literally jump on stage and dance while we were playing. And it was almost like a scene, you know. But I think ultimately just a really good pop and rock, really good rock band. I mean, we were a good live band. That's basically it.
Yeah. All right. Well, and anything you want to say to your fans, to anybody out there, anybody you want to shout out, give thanks to?
Just a couple of thank yous. I mentioned them already, but I want to mention them again. Blair, Buscarino, Bill Jones, Stephen Prisco, and Ian Morrison for helping with the project. In addition, Ray G and Chetty with Cool Cat Music, who gave us the 2-CD deal, and Tizano from Area Parada for the LP, and then, of course, Mitchell Taus, Pat Bichow, and the guy who started it all, Vance Brescia, the guy who wrote all the songs. And one other thing, Scott Savitt, our manager.
Well, Tony, I really appreciate your time. I've been trying to make this happen for a long time, and really happy and excited that we finally got to do this. Really.
Yeah, it was fun. I appreciate it. It's always fun to talk about this band.
Yeah. And anything else in the future that you want to come back on, open invite on our podcast. We'd love to have you again.
Okay. One more thing I do want to mention. Anybody, I mentioned to you earlier, if you really want to see anything, there are a few things that you can find on either the Mosquito Appreciation page on Facebook. Also on YouTube, there's a short film that two of our fans made way back in like 83. There's our first video for a song called You Don't Give a Hang About Me, Professionals video. That's up on YouTube. And a couple little other things. But if you dig deep, there's actual complete shows out there. There's our reunion show from 2015 at Orleans. There's also a live show that we did in 85 at Columbia University. I think the whole show is up somewhere on YouTube. But you gotta check, and you gotta avoid the Spanish Mosquitoes. Because there's another band called Los Mosquitoes, I believe.
Okay. And anywhere that people can follow you and keep up with what you have going on?
I think basically if you go to the Mosquito Appreciation page, somebody will let you in. You have to be accepted, you know.
So got it. Perfect.
And basically, the way to get accepted is say you want to be in.
Okay. All right. Well, that's great. So I'm gonna add myself to that group and see if I'm lucky enough to be included in this.
That's great, Greg. I'll
definitely
let you in.
Awesome. I appreciate that. Well, Tony, really appreciate it. It was fun. A lot of fun hearing these stories. And it's actually stuff I didn't even know. So I'm glad we got to do this.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Well, be good, and we'll talk soon.
Sure. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Anything Goes podcast with Greg and Alex. See you real soon, suckers.